Now, for some of you, being together on an occasion like this is familiar. You know what's going to happen. You know why it's going to happen. But I'm sure that that's not the case for all of us. So I just want us to think a little bit about what baptism is. And the first thing I want to say is that baptism is all about beginnings. Now, if you're thinking, yes, of course, I understand what you mean. This is where Eve and Rose and Chris and Alex, this is the point in their lives. This is where they become Christians. That is not what I mean at all. You see, no one becomes a Christian. No one is initiated into the Christian faith through an act of baptism, or indeed through any other kind of ritual. It doesn't matter whether they're sprinkled as a baby or immersed as a grown-up, as our folks will be today. Some years ago, a former colleague of mine called up, and we spent an hour catching up on old times. When I first got to know him, he had just left his first wife. He was living with a new woman, and at the time he called me, he was living with another woman by whom he'd had a young daughter, who at that point was 2 years old. And as we talked about work and life and what had happened in the time since we'd been working together, he raised the issue of marriage and also of the christening of his daughter. And he was very annoyed that the vicar of his local parish church was insisting that he and his family attend church regularly leading up to the christening and even after the christening. You see, as far as he was concerned, he had the right to have his daughter initiated into the church, thereby, in his mind, becoming a Christian. It was important to him that she be raised with Christian teaching and Christian values. And whether he went to church and whether he believed it or not was utterly irrelevant. We had a very interesting conversation after that. But you see, my point in telling you that little story is that my friend is not alone. Many people think of baptism or christening or confirmation as a rite of passage into the Christian faith, a simple ritual that you go through so that you can write something in the religion column when it comes to the national census. But that is not what the Bible teaches. I chose to speak from this story of the Philippian jailer because his experience of becoming a Christian is typical of everyone who becomes a Christian. You see, the Bible teaches that baptism is for believers only. Put another way, in the Bible, faith and this act of baptism always go together. Notice the order of events in the passage. When the jailer comes to Paul and asks him, "What must I do to be saved?" How does Paul respond? He doesn't say to him, "Well, you need to be baptized." He doesn't say, "Well, you need to begin to go to church regularly." He doesn't say, "You need to do any particular ritual or anything like that." What he says is, "You need to believe. You need to believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Now, that meant not just his immediate blood family, his daughters and so on, and his sons. It meant everyone who lived under his roof in those days. That's what you need to do, he says. So Paul told him that he didn't need to do anything. Instead, he needed to believe in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's very important to get that contrast between the question that was asked and the answer that was given. The jailer comes and says, "What do I have to do to be a Christian?" And Paul says, "Only believe. Just believe in Jesus, that he is who he claimed to be, God and man." So this man, you see, wanted to do what every human being is hardwired to do. Perform some act of service or worship in order to please and be accepted by God. But that isn't how it works. Paul pointed him away, you see, from his own efforts and urged him to simply receive the free gift of salvation, a gift that's received only by faith, only when we trust, only when we believe. You see, genuine Christian faith is not a work. not a religious deed. The Bible teaches that it's by grace we have been saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. In other words, it's not something we can work up ourselves. It is, says the Bible, the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. So anyone here who calls themselves a Christian and is truly born again can't boast in that, because it's nothing to do with how they have lived. It's entirely to do with the fact that they've received that free gift that Jesus offers of forgiveness. And that's offered in grace. It's not offered based on our performance. Because if it was, there would be no Christians in this building at all. Because we're not saved by works. We're saved only by grace. So the Apostle Paul, you know, we've just been in Rome, my wife and I, at the beginning of May, celebrating our 30th wedding anniversary. You see the Apostle Peter and the Apostle Paul all over the place. Now, the Apostle did not at all think or teach that being baptized or engaging in any other Christian ritual, sacrament, or ordinance qualified anybody to be a Christian. That's not what the Bible teaches. It's not what the Christian faith through the centuries has believed. So that means that what we're going to witness this afternoon, these acts of baptism, are all acts that follow faith. They follow genuine conversion. That was true of the jailer in our story. It's true of the rest of his family. Faith first, then baptism. Now, having said all of that, I want to quickly show you how baptism is in fact all about beginnings. Because it describes the beginning of new life for a Christian. And there are four B's to help us understand it. Baptism, first of all, is like a bath. Now you'll notice at the back that there is a pool. We're a Baptist church. And we immerse new Christians in baptism. And that's because it symbolizes cleansing from sin. Now, of course, we all understand, don't we, that soap and water, whatever that soap might be, even if it's Imperial Leather, my favorite, will never cleanse me from sin. It's an outward symbol. What cleanses anyone from sin, you see, is the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. The Apostle Paul put it like this: God has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So how can I be cleansed? How can I be forgiven? I need to be in Jesus. How do I become someone who's in Jesus? I believe in him. I trust in him and what he has said. You see, Jesus is more than someone who shows us what God is really like. He is that, of course. He's more than someone who shows us the Father's love. He does that, of course. But the important thing is that Jesus is our Redeemer. He came to redeem us from sin. Now, that's not a word we often use these days. It used to be when I grew up, we used to have green shield stamps. Who remembers green shield stamps? And there's a lot of us. That's good. And you went to the petrol station and you got your stamps, and then you redeemed them when you had enough to get the cuddly toy or the whatever percolator, whatever it was you were after, okay? But it's generally not a term that we're familiar with. But in Paul's day, there was this picture of the slave market. And if you wanted to set a slave free, what you needed to do was pay to the owner of that slave a ransom. And that would enable you then to set them free. And then you were free to set them free yourself, if you wanted to do. And that's exactly what Jesus does for everyone who trusts in him. He came into this world, he shed his own blood on the cross to cover the cost of your sin and my sin. And the cost of his sacrifice is the price of our forgiveness, which is why we don't need to earn it. The price has already been paid. We simply need to trust. And it's those who've repented of sin and trusted Jesus who've been cleansed from their sin and therefore are qualified to be baptized. And that's what we see. So baptism is about a bath, but it's also about burial. Repent isn't a familiar word today, really, is it? Or if we use it at all, we don't really get it right. What does it mean to repent of sin? Well, one of the things it means is it's a kind of death. It's dying to the old life of independence from God, saying, I can do it my own way, I don't need you. It's saying, I'm going to die to the old sinful way of living. I'm going to die to the old rebellious attitudes in my heart. And that death is symbolized in the act of baptism as the believer goes under the water. So that is going to happen to all four candidates. They're all going to be immersed under the water, and only once, hopefully. I remember one occasion I had to baptize a rather large guy, and I was supposed to immerse him and get him all the way down. And I realized as I was beginning to bring him back up that his head, top of his head, was still dry. So I immediately shoved him back down again. So he got done twice in the same day. Now, we immerse because it symbolizes death. In the book of Romans, Paul says this, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And then he develops an argument. He goes on and he says, well, what are we going to say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? And he says, by no means. Why shouldn't we do that, Paul? And he gives the answer. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who are baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Now we'll come to a new life in a moment. But for now I want you to understand that a Christian is a new man or a new woman. There's a clear and decisive break from the old life and there's a new way of living. Now, as a church family, we require that those who are baptized give a credible, a believable profession of faith. In other words, we're concerned that what they say they believe, they actually live out in their daily lives. Their Christian language is marked by Christian living. Now, of course, we understand that we can never know absolutely. Only God truly knows someone's heart. But as far as we can, we seek for evidence, for fruit, that there's been a death to the old ways and the old nature before we recommend that person to the church. So baptism's like a bath. It's like a burial. And then thirdly, it's like a birth. And there's only one more after this. Now, I'm sure that everyone who's being baptized this afternoon expects to be lifted from the water. So after they've been under, they expect to come back out, and we trust that that's the case. If you're a qualified first aider, we're very pleased that you're here. But that lifting up signifies resurrection. It signifies new life, a new life that the person receives from Jesus Christ. And that spiritual life is given by the Holy Spirit. Jesus referred to it in a conversation with a very religious man called Nicodemus. And he said this to them, to Nicodemus, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God, no one can enter my kingdom, no one becomes a Christian unless he is born again. See, only people who've been born again by the Spirit of God should be baptized. That's one of the reasons that many churches are full of people who aren't really Christians. It's because those people haven't really understood their sin problem. Those people haven't realized that Jesus only saves sinners. He doesn't come to save religious people. He doesn't save people who've simply gone through a ritual because they think it's the right thing to do. So baptism is like a bath, it's like a burial, it's like a birth, and it's like a badge. Like a badge. What do badges represent? They represent allegiance. They represent identity. You are never going to get away from whether were you European champions for the sixth time. Manchester City haven't even begun. Okay, but baptism is all about allegiance. It's all about identity. So in much the same way that I express my loyalty to Liverpool Football Club by wearing the shirt or having the badge, those who obey the Lord in baptism are similarly showing their allegiance, their loyalty, their identity. They do it in two ways. First of all, it's their allegiance to Jesus. He is their personal Lord and Savior. But it's also their allegiance, their identification with other Christians. within this particular church family. So later in the service, after the baptisms, those who've been baptized will be welcomed as members of this church family, because in being baptized, they're saying they belong not only to Jesus, but to the church of Jesus Christ. And we're simply a local expression of the church of Jesus Christ. So as each person is being baptized here, they're saying simply, I belong to Jesus, and I'm one, I'm united with his people, the church. And these two things are linked in the New Testament. So baptism is all about beginnings. It symbolizes the reality of the new birth, a new life that each of the people who are baptized today have already experienced. It symbolizes the cleansing of sin, the death to the old nature, being enabled to live by the Spirit of Jesus Christ in unity with Jesus and his people. But there's more, you know. Eve and Rose and Chris and Alex, this occasion in some ways marks the start of the rest of your life in serving King Jesus. Someone once said this: too many Christians take the plunge, dry off, and then dry out. We don't want that to be the case for any of you. We want you to remain faithful in following Jesus. And as we accept you as members of the church family here, we will commit to pray for you and care for you and lead you forward in your Christian journey as we walk together to that great day when we'll all be in the presence of Jesus forever. So, baptism isn't necessarily what you thought it was before you arrived this afternoon, but I hope you understand a little bit more about what is happening here today.